From NPR News in Washington, I'm Noor Rahm. Syria's state-run news agency says a high-ranking military officer has been assassinated in Damascus. NPR's Kelly McGevers reports the attack comes as violence in Syria is escalating.
Syrian state media say Brigadier General Issa al-Khuli was killed by three gunmen outside his home in Syria's capital, Damascus. Al-Khuli reportedly ran a military hospital. The attack comes a day after twin bombings struck a security compound in Syria's largest city, Aleppo. No one has claimed responsibility for the attacks, but the Syrian government has blamed them on terrorists. Thousands of people have died in a crackdown on protesters since Syria's anti-government uprising began last March. But now analysts say the conflict is beginning to look like a civil war. The UN General Assembly may take up a resolution on Syria as early as Monday. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Beirut.
The violence in Syria has spread to Lebanon. Security officials there say pro-Syria and anti-Syria gunmen fired on each other in Tripoli. It started last night and continued into this morning. Officials say one person was killed and several were wounded. The fighting fell along religious lines. The Assad regime is dominated by an offshoot of Shiite Muslims, while the uprising against him has been led by Sunni Muslims. President Obama's new budget proposal forecasts a deficit this year of $1.3 trillion. NPR's Scott Horsley reports Mr. Obama is set to release his spending plan on Monday.
The White House blueprint shows deficits steadily declining over the next few years, with the federal budget reaching a sustainable point by 2018. But that comes with a big asterisk. The budget includes a variety of tax increases that Mr. Obama has pushed before, so far, without success. The budget supplies the detailed numbers to support the policies outlined in the President's State of the Union speech, but more than a plausible spending plan for a divided Congress, it's primarily a political tool. It shows voters how Mr. Obama would like to raise and spend money in advance of the November election. Scott Horsley, NPR News, the White House.
The budget won't be out until Monday, but Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell already knows he doesn't like it.
We can expect the President's budget to ignore the growing entitlement crisis in this country. It won't protect the security of Medicare and Social Security, and absent major reforms, it'll continue down the road to bankrupting these programs in the years ahead.
McDonnell delivered this week's Republican address. He said Republicans know better how to make government more efficient and to create more jobs. Republican officials in Maine are to announce this evening the winner of week-long caucuses on the Republican race for president. Mitt Romney won the non-binding vote in the last election, but Ron Paul has spent considerable time in the state and hopes to pick up his first victory. Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum have not been actively competing in Maine. This is NPR News. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said today his country will soon announce that it's made major nuclear achievements. He did not provide details. Western nations suspect Iran is trying to develop nuclear weapons. Tehran insists its program is for peaceful purposes only, such as energy production. Ahmadinejad spoke at a rally in Tehran called to mark the 33rd anniversary of the Islamic Revolution that put clerics in power, replacing a pro-Western monarchy. Thousands of Japanese protesters are marching against nuclear power in Tokyo amid concerns that idled reactors may start back up soon, threatening public safety. John Matthews reports demonstrators are close to getting their wish of a nuclear-free nation.
With Japan's last active nuclear reactor scheduled to be offline for maintenance by May, pressure is mounting to reboot before summer amps up the nation's demand for energy. Demonstrators, joined by Nobel Prize-winning writer Ken Zabuto Oe, peacefully marched through the streets of Tokyo, demanding Japan completely abandon its atomic program in the wake of the worst nuclear disaster since Chernobyl. Residents living near the plants are pressuring their local leaders to hold up approval for restarts, but government and utility officials are working to break the impasse with stress tests and plant lifetime restrictions. Japan's anti-nuclear movement is the largest in decades for the traditionally protest-averse nation. For NPR News, I'm John Matthews in Tokyo.
British police arrested five employees of the tabloid The Sun early this morning. They're suspected of bribing police for information. The paper is owned by Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation. Another of its publications, The News of the World, shut down last year after it was disclosed that reporters had hacked into telephones owned by celebrities. I'm Noor Rahm, NPR News in Washington.